Welcome to Power Play on the day of the on-off $10 billion Keystone XL pipeline is back on with the last legislative hurdle removed, at least until the courts weigh in. Coming up, we will discuss the mega project to connect Alberta oil to Tidewater with the head of petroleum producers in Canada. Also ahead, more fallout on the ethics scandal for the finance minister. It turns out the ethics commissioner had been flagged on Bill Morneau conflict allegations months before she launched her investigation. We will talk to the complaint flag waiver, and the latest NAFTA negotiations have wrapped up in a warning with a warning from Mexico. A former president says Canada better not throw his country under the free trade bus. Our Eyes on the Talks is standing by. But first, pending a court challenge, it's a green light for the massive Keystone XL pipeline connecting Alberta oil to the Gulf Coast. The Nebraska Public Service Commission narrowly approved the alternative pipeline route for 830,000 barrels of oil a day. Alberta Premier Rachel Notley was quick to react, as did our Natural Resources Minister just before question period.
The Keystone Pipeline will ensure that we're able to maintain our existing markets and to some extent some additional markets through the Gulf Coast, and definitely less expensively and more safely. So it's good news. What we still need to do is get that pipeline to the West Coast constructed, and that's good for all Canadians, and the Canadian economy, not just Alberta.
Well, it's very good news. It's good news for the thousands.
TransCanada said it's still reviewing the decision's costs and scheduling implications, but let's get the industry's perspective. Tim McMillan is the president and CEO of the Canadian Association of Petroleum Producers, and he joins us from lovely Calgary. Mr. McMillan, there have been so many starts and stops on Keystone, the head spins. Is this the real green light deal then?
You know, I think no one would have picked the route that this has taken through the regulatory process when this all began over 6 years ago. But this is the last regulatory body along the entire route of the pipeline to give its final okay. So this is an important day for Canada.
What does it mean to the oil industry of Alberta? It's been a bit knocked down because of the low oil prices. What does this pipeline bring to the province?
Well, over the last few years, prices have been low. But we've still seen increases in production. That investment has fallen off, but we've still been able to bring on increasing amounts of crude oil over the last couple of years. And we expect to continue to grow output all the way to the end of our forecast in 2030. So we are sending more oil on rail today than we were a year ago. And getting projects like this moving forward and under construction and carrying our products will make us more efficient and make us able to attract more investment into the future.
Barring any court delays, and we know that's always a possibility here, when will this pipeline finally be connected from Alberta right down to the Gulf Coast?
Well, with the announcement today, I understand that TransCanada is looking at what this means to them and to their project, and they're the ones that have to execute on it. They'll need to make a final investment decision and ultimately move this forward. But I think that their public timeline is over the next few years to move forward on it, and probably in that early 2020 timeframe, start moving product. But like I say, this hinges on TransCanada moving the project in the timelines they've put forward publicly.
Is there a risk at this stage of the game, after all these hoops that we've gone through, that the pipeline still might not be built?
Well, ultimately, as I say, that this will be a very big project with a large price tag, and TransCanada is in this business and have spent a large portion of time and investment in money to get this project to this point. But ultimately, they have to make a final investment decision. So the ball is now in their court.
Yeah, $10 billion, you don't throw that at anything just easily. But I am curious if this alternative route that's a bit closer to, I guess, the existing pipeline footprint, does that change anything in this decision? Does it negatively affect the bottom line at all?
Again, TransCanada would have to assess, you know, there was a couple different routes that were being considered by the regulatory body in Nebraska. What we were looking at closely was if it altered where it entered and exited the state, that would then have knock-on effects that the neighboring states may have to re-engage their regulatory processes, and that would add substantially more complexity. Being that it just alters the route within the state and goes through a few different counties than it was before, it seems like that is more streamlined than what some of the alternatives could have been. Mm-hmm. But TransCanada will have to deal with potentially some slightly different landowners in some different counties.
I want to play a clip, if I can, right now. Premier Rachel Notley, she was in Toronto today. She's arguing that a pipeline to be built through Canada, the coast, is still vital. Let's hear what she has to say.
Getting pipelines built will give Canada a safer, less risky energy infrastructure. Pipelines are safer than what we're doing now. And getting better prices from more buyers will not come at the expense of increased emissions. Thanks to our climate leadership plan, the strongest plan of its kind in Canada.
All right, Tim McMillan, does the Keystone approval reduce the need for Trans Mountain at all, in your view?
Not at all. I think that that's one of the important things that we need to continue to communicate is that this is a building block. This is an important one. It moves over 800,000 barrels a day of Canadian product to the U.S. Gulf Coast, one of the largest refining centers in the world. But it doesn't pick up the volumes that we're increasing by entirely. And it doesn't give us optionality. Today we have one customer, the United States. By getting Kinder Morgan built, it allows us to reach the new and growing markets overseas and gives us more flexibility, which times like this where we're renegotiating NAFTA, I think is crucial importance as well.
How big a black eye was last week's spill in South Dakota? Because, you know, pipelines have a bad reputation in some quarters. That can't help.
You know, any time that that there is a spill, it's a concern for all parties. We have some of the safest pipelines in the world, in Canada and in the U.S. That being said, when there is an incident, I think it's important that companies respond very quickly, that they have extremely high standards, and that they ensure they put the environment back to its original state. So, though this happens very, very infrequently, when it does happen, I think the test is how you respond.
You bet. All right, Tim McMillan, thanks for joining us. We appreciate this.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right, we'd like your thoughts on the Keystone Pipeline approval, for or against. You can reach us through social media. We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, we've got Instagram. You can also contact us via email on this or any other topic. Our address, powerplay@ctvnews.ca. All right. On another topic altogether, the fifth round of NAFTA renegotiations wind up tomorrow. So far, it seems like little concrete progress on the major irritants. But the talks, done for the first time without political masters in the room, did end with a warning from former Mexican President Vicente Fox. CTV's Richard Madden is in Mexico City covering the talks, which resume in Montreal in January. All right, Richard, seemed kind of sleepy, but you did find someone that has a pretty stern warning for Canada. Who said what, and what was the warning about?
Well, buenos tardes, Donaldo. You know, that interview yesterday we had with President Vicente Fox really shook things up here today. As a matter of fact, about an hour ago, Canada's chief negotiator, Steve Verhul, was swarmed by Mexican reporters really trying to follow up on what Vicente Fox said yesterday, warning Prime Minister Justin Trudeau not to betray Mexico. He called him Judas, as a matter of fact, by cutting a separate deal with the United States. Take a listen.
Open his eyes, because sometimes what I get from him is that he will protect Canada even by sacrificing Mexico. He might, like Judas, give us a strike and go with the United States and leave us aside. I warn Trudeau and I warn Canada, you will not make it.
Wow, Richard, that was interesting. Now,
so,
I'm just curious, do you think that's part of, is that part of the Mexican strategy to, was, you think he was speaking in an authorized capacity, or was he just freelancing?
Yeah, I think he was completely freelancing, but there is an impression here in Mexico, when they look at Canada's charm offensive and the relationship